Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast, The World Outside. I'm Maha Siddiqui. Let's talk about our neighborhood this time, Nepal, where the parliament has been dissolved by President Bidya Devi Bhandari after beleaguered Prime Minister K.P. Sharma Oli went to her with a recommendation to dissolve the House of Representatives. But he is being challenged by the rival factions of Prachanda and Madhav Nepal. Today, I have with me former ambassador to Nepal, Ranjit Rai, to speak about the political situation and what next in Nepal. Many thanks, sir, for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Sir, what do you say about the current political scenario in Nepal? Where do you see it headed now?
Well, I think this is a very unfortunate move, some people are referring to it as a constitutional coup. The new constitution of Nepal does not have any clause whereby the House of Representatives can be dissolved by the Prime Minister. And, you know, this has been done really to save the personal position of the Prime Minister. As you know, he was in a minority within his own party, and he was under pressure from his own colleagues to resign. This would normally have happened in terms of the parliamentary majorities. But in order to preempt any such move, he has decided to dissolve the lower house of parliament. So basically now we're in a situation where for the next few months, I think April and May next year, basically it will be ruled by the fiat. By the Prime Minister and the President with no parliamentary accountability. So I am rather apprehensive about this turn of events. First, because I think there has been a lot of criticism in Nepal by other political leaders, by the constitutional experts, by the media. There is a likelihood of several street agitations. So one doesn't know how the situation will develop and indeed whether elections will be held on time or not. So the situation is quite uncertain and I think this is a very unfortunate development.
Ambassador Rai, since you're saying that the Constitution of Nepal does not provide any clear provisions as far as dissolution of parliament is concerned, do you see this being challenged legally? How is Nepal going to deal with it? Also, the imminent split now in the Communist Party, how do you see that panning out particularly as well?
There are some people who are suggesting that a split in the Communist Party, you know, this monolithic, very strong party that had almost two-thirds majority in parliament, is a positive development. And, you know, if you look at electoral politics, then obviously in the elections now there will be, you know, the communist or the leftist vote will get divided. So this may be a positive development. But I look at it more strategically in terms of long-term stability in Nepal, the sustainability and consolidation of the democratic processes in Nepal. And I worry about that. And my feeling is that, you know, if you go by past precedent, these deadlines that are mentioned are never met. And so you move from one constitutional impasse to another, and you try and then devise creative ways of overcoming these impasses. So somehow, democracy really is a rule of law based on constitution, based on the commitment of the leadership to uphold the provisions of the constitution. So I feel that this is not a very good move, keeping in mind long-term stability in Nepal.
Ambassador Rai, what has also surprised many people and raised an alarm amongst observers is the very open interference by China in Nepal's internal politics. We've seen the Chinese ambassador to Nepal holding meetings with the various Communist Party factions. How do you see this development and what repercussions could it have even for India?
Well, this is certainly a very serious development. In the past, China was actively involved in Nepal, but more on development projects. As you know, Nepal is a major signatory to the Belt and Road Initiative of the Chinese. But over the last several months, one has seen China very actively involved in the domestic, in the internal politics of Nepal. And as you said, the Chinese ambassador has been very active in meeting political leaders in trying to ensure that the Nepal Communist Party does not split. There have been a lot of dissensions within the Communist Party between different factions, and she has been trying to patch up matters. But obviously, this has not worked, and so you now have a situation where the Communist Party is on the verge of a split. So I feel that this strategy of the Chinese is something that India will have to look at very carefully. We've had the visit of President Xi. Prior to that, there have been agreements between the Communist Party of China and the Nepalese Communist Party for, training. The Chinese have been training the Nepalese cadres on Xi Jinping thought. So clearly there seems to be a more intrusive role by the Chinese in Nepal. And this, I feel, is a new, more recent development, which I think India needs to be very cautious about and see how best to deal with. And this is very different from, what the Chinese used to say in the past, that they don't get involved in the internal affairs of countries. But you can see also now that there is a pushback. I think there is a pushback within Nepal against Chinese interference. And also, the very fact that the communists are so divided suggests that perhaps the Chinese intervention has not has not been as successful as they might have hoped.
Ambassador, I also, just before these political developments started taking shape in Nepal, Foreign Secretary Harshvardhan Shringla was in Nepal and he extended the invitation from External Affairs Minister S. Jaishankar to the Foreign Minister of Nepal to visit India. That visit was supposed to happen in December. It's looking unlikely now because of the developments there. This would have been the first visit, a big one, after the map row between India and Nepal. Now, the Army Chief General Narawane had said that the fact that Nepal included three Indian territories in its map was done at the behest of China. How do you link up all that, and how do you see India now taking up the map issue with Nepal? After all, three Indian territories are still featured in the new Nepali map.
Historically, Nepalese nationalism has been based on a heavy dose of anti-Indian sentiment. So, whenever a leader in Nepal wanted to become popular, he would raise this bogey of Indian threat. And that has been the practice since the days of King Mahendra after the coup that he undertook in 1960. And I think this is the strategy that certain leftist leaders, and especially the Prime Minister, only have been following. So you remember, several months ago, I think late last year, when he was under attack from within his party, he decided to raise this bogey of the boundary dispute, basically, to shore up his own position by saying that, this is what India is doing to us, etc. Since then, he realized that this hasn't really worked because the divisions within his party have only intensified. One thing one needs to keep in mind is that this kind of thing happens from time to time. But in the present boundary issue, of course, the Nepalese precipitated the matter even further by going in for a constitutional amendment. Now, as far as India is concerned, we were deeply distressed this move, which we felt was totally unsubstantiated, not based on any factual or historical evidence. But given our very strong interests in Nepal, I think our assessment was that we should not have too long a hiatus, too long a gap in our relationship. You know, you can't have too long a period where there is no dialogue. And especially given the fact that the Chinese are intensifying their engagement. So I think the government wisely decided to restart the dialogue process. And it is in that context that you see these series of visits that have taken place with, you know, the head of our external intelligence, the army chief, General Narvane, the foreign secretary. There has even been a visit from the, you know, at the party level from the BJP. So all this was really to get our India-Nepal cooperation back on track. But, you know, I personally feel that now with this big political problem in Nepal, it's unlikely that, you know, the bilateral engagement will proceed at the you know, pace and speed that we would have desired and expected. And I think Nepal will be now basically involved with their own internal domestic battles. So I don't see the boundary issue, you know, gaining the kind of salience it would otherwise have gained. And of course, the way to resolve the boundary issue is really through negotiations. And I think India has a very, very strong case. There's nothing for us to be defensive about. But I think this is going to be a long, drawn-out process. And I also personally feel that there needs to be political stability within Nepal in order to tackle some of these, you know, old issues between the two countries, such as the boundary issue or the 1950 treaty revision.
Final question, sir. Many experts believe that KP Sharma Oli has very strong leanings towards China, and you know, that is a sentiment that has reflected perhaps in the past as well. KP Sharma Oli last time around had also accused India of being the reason behind his ouster. Do you see a change in leadership in Nepal maybe in the next year after elections or whatever the political situation emanates there, auguring well for India if there is a change in leadership?
See, politics in Nepal tends to be tactical and based on self-interest. So as long as the Chinese, for instance, were supporting Oli in his leadership position within the Communist Party, you know, Oli was raising this bogey of anti-Indian nationalism, etc. The minute the Chinese altered their position somewhat and said that their priority is that the Nepalese Communist Party should remain intact, even if there is a leadership change, I think Oli changed his own position and started making overtures to India. So, you know, this is all tactical games being played, and the, you know, specific goal is to retain your leadership or your power or your position as Prime Minister in the country. So I don't really think there is any serious or fundamental change in the approach of, you know, these leaders to India or China. It's all tactical, depending on the circumstances. You know, you lean towards India or you lean towards China. In terms of the future, it's very difficult to say what the future will hold, because there are already a series of agitations. You know, the monarchists are agitating, those that want Nepal to again become a Hindu state are agitating, political parties are agitating, there is an extreme left group, and now, of course, you know, with this constitutional coup carried out by Prime Minister Oli, I think there are going to be, you know, these agitations on the street will intensify. So, you know, it's going to be a very difficult situation, and the government will really have to control these agitations. So I think, you know, what will happen in terms of leadership is difficult to say, because now there is no constitutional way. There is no legal constitutional way to remove the Prime Minister since the parliament stands dissolved. Of course, if the Supreme Court were to reinstate, you know, the House, then it is possible then to have a no-confidence motion and remove Prime Minister Oli. But in case the Supreme Court endorses, you know, the decision of the Prime Minister and the President, then I think there is no legal way. And so I expect, you know, difficult days ahead for Nepal.
Ambassador Rai, many thanks for helping us understand the current political situation in Nepal and what it could mean for India as well. That's it then that we have on the World Outside this week. Many thanks for listening in.